When I got up this morning, I was thinking, oh boy, it's cold out there. I looked out to see my windshield on my car, and it was pretty frosty. And I got on the computer, I said, hey, how cold is it out there? 25 degrees. I said, that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. And then I thought about, this is what's interesting, I thought about how when I was a young boy and I grew up in Reno, I had a paper route in old Northwest Reno, not far from the Raley's on Keystone and 7th, up about a mile up 7th Street. Had a route there. My brother and I both did. And I remembered the mornings like this, that I used to get up and have to fold those papers. And boy, oh boy, it was still sometimes dark, folding those and getting them ready. And on real snowy days, my dad, God bless him, he'd get up and drive the car. My brother would be on one side and I'd be on the other side, and we'd be throwing the papers up on the porches. And I mean, do they even still deliver papers anymore? I guess they do. No, they don't. Oh, milk and paper are gone. I just thought, well, hey, Lord, you know, it was interesting because I thought I was delivering the news and people were waiting to get the news. And I felt like the Lord said, and it's 25 degrees and you're getting ready to deliver some news too. You're still delivering news. Only this morning I'm delivering the good news. So I'm still a paper boy for Jesus. And but one of the things too that was interesting, I because of the papers, I fell in love with the comic section. We call the funny papers. You guys remember that? And of course, like many of you, one of my favorites was Peanuts comic strip. How many of you are familiar with that? Right. Well, in the cast of characters, Sally Brown, there she is. That's Charlie Brown's little sister, remember? You know, Sally has a sweet, innocent side, but also a more cynical view of life than most of the other characters in the Peanuts gang. And one popular panel has this exchange between her and her brother. And she says, I hate everything. I hate the whole world. And Charlie says, as he's watching TV, oh, I thought you had inner peace. I do. But I still have outer obnoxiousness. I thought that was cute. I thought you had inner peace. Say that to the person next to you. I thought you had inner peace. Oh. You know, it's actually a biblical concept and a possibility. Yeah. One great text in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. The prophet speaks, and he says, you will keep in perfect peace. He's actually praying to God. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Now, that's one of the best promises in Scripture. Do you think so? You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and whose thoughts are fixed on you. And from the New Testament, the Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since, read that with me, you were called to peace. Wow, we have been called to peace. Church, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right. So, my friends, yes, I want to submit to you that inner peace is essential for experiencing the wholeness that Jesus provides to you and me as his followers. I mean, after all, the good Christmas tidings tell us that he was born to be our Prince of Peace. And so this morning, inspired by both my own reflections and the wisdom of others, I'd like to share some biblical approaches to uncovering what truly matters for a peaceful heart. And I can begin by giving an exhortation, saints, and it's this. God wants us to feel peaceful inside our hearts and minds. So pursue that feeling. Keep looking for it and never stop until you find it. Sometimes people say, you know, the peace is so elusive. That's true. It can be elusive. But God wants us to have it. So it's something that we pursue. But where do we start that pursuit for peace within? Well, dear friends, as we begin, I first submit to you that finding serenity within ourselves really is like a general calm feeling in our hearts and minds. And there's a couple of people I thought, they look like they were generally looking kind of serene. Do you think that's a look of serenity? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that peace of mind, that sense of peace happens, I want to propose to you, for starters, when you and I begin to accept who we are. And we understand that God has a unique plan just for us in Christ. Now, last week I talked to you about the place where peace begins. So I need you to listen to these messages in sequence. Because I said any other peace that we have is going to be built on the peace that is found at the cross. So what I'm saying today is built on that foundation. So please understand that. It's very important. So I'm going on the assumption that you have heard that, or you will hear that, or you have come to that place, that starting place of peace with God through your faith in Christ. And now let's stand up on that foundation and move forward and say that now the actualizing of that peace that has been achieved for us in Christ's atoning work now begins to have an actual feeling inside of us. It begins to come into us when we realize we can accept who we are and understand in Christ, now God has a unique plan just for each one of us. So consider this with me, please, for just a moment. Loved one, you can change many things about yourself, like how you think, how you act, and even how stylish you are. But there are some things you can't change, like how you look. I mean, fundamentally, yes, we can undergo cosmetic, you know, procedures and enhancements and so forth to a certain degree. But basically who we are and how we look, we can't change that. Where our family comes from, that's already past history. We can't change that. And even where you were born, you can't change that. Is that true? Yeah. Sure. So how do you learn to accept those things that you can't change? Well, fundamentally, it begins this way. You need to remember that you were made just the way you are for a special reason by God. Just like the potter shapes the clay, God shaped you to do wonderful things. There you are. I love that picture. You have to grab that and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Lord basically has shaped me to do wonderful things. He knew me before the foundation of the world. Now, sometimes does the clay get marred along the way in this world? Yes, it does. And the Lord has the ability to do repairs. But the point is fundamentally the peace, the existential peace that we need as human beings comes, and especially as God's people particularly, when we realize, hey, there's a sovereign God involved here, and he made me, fashioned me the way I am as a human being. Now, my brother and sister, I say the Bible and personal observation tell you that how you feel about yourself can really change how you see God, how you see your family, how you see your friends, and what your future might be. How you feel about yourself can actually change those things. But in so doing, it also can affect your levels of peace inside you. And so the good news is that when you accept yourself, you stop comparing yourself to others and you start to see how good God is and the special plans he has for you. This is so important. I think I'm probably fairly right in saying this. Well, all of our social media has, you know, some gregarious fun aspects of, you know, interacting with people on a much larger scale. One of the things it does do is, though, cause us to be tempted to compare ourselves to other people and what's going on in their lives, what they're doing, where they're going, who they're seeing, what they're buying, what they're even eating in any given moment. And, you know, we can start these subtle comparisons about my life against somebody else's life. And we've never had such windows into so many people's lives simultaneously. And I think that at some point there's going to be a reflection on the whole social media thing that swept through humanity, because all over the world now. And realizing that we are sometimes disturbed in our feelings of peace because we're not able to accept ourselves because we are constantly bombarded with what other people's lives are like. Comparing ourselves. Instead of saying, hey, I'm going to focus on accepting who I am in God and the special plans he has for me. How much time are we spending thinking about God's special plans for us? We're always hearing about someone else's great plans, what they're doing. What about what God's doing for you and me? There's peace in that, knowing, hey, I've got a purpose here now. And I would also add this, to truly accept yourself, you need to believe that God made you with his love and wisdom. I mean, when God created you, it was an act of love, and he did it so with such an amazing wisdom. He knew exactly what he was doing. But in all of that, like I said, we go along and the clay can get marred along the way. So we always do have to remember God is still working on you and I, and he will help us to grow to be more like Jesus. One thing about that picture I like is Jesus is the one doing the molding of the clay. But here's what is important. Even though we're all unique, and that's the beauty of Christ, that we're still being made spiritually, so to speak, in his image. And so he's the one fashioning me to be like him. Well, I believe in the Lord. I believe in his word. I believe that he's coming back again. I believe that he's changing me to be more like him. I feel his love all around me every day. I believe that he's changing me to be more like him. So he's made me unique and you unique, but somehow in all of that, as the Apostle Paul would say, in the end, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. So he's still working on us, helping us become more like Jesus. I find peace in that. He's not giving up on me. His hands are still on me. His hands are still on you. Say to yourself, the Lord's got his hands on me. I mean, think of it like that, and you'll feel better about things. So start by thanking God for how he made you, especially for those things that you can't change, trusting that God will make it all work out for your good. And I'm going to get more on that later. But now, can you see how, just as we began, doing this can help bring the peace of God inside your mind and heart? That you're a work in progress. Accept yourself. You know, so often individuals who struggle with inner peace often find themselves with conflict within, right? And I submit to you, one of the first reasons is they have a hard time loving who they are. They have a hard time loving who they are. And now, there can be a lot of reasons why that's there. But they struggle. And they also have a hard time accepting kind words from other people. And they struggle to experience harmony with God or with those around them. So you have to say to yourself, loving who I am. I don't mean some narcissistic thing that's overboard, that's a pathology. I'm talking about just who fundamentally God made you to be. There's times that I know, even after all these years of walking with the Lord, and I think it's just part of the fallenness that we still carry around till the day Jesus comes and changes us completely. But there's times I say to myself, you know, Rod, gosh, sometimes I just don't like who you are. I know that's not right, Lord. And I know that those kind of thoughts, whenever I'm feeling them, I don't feel peaceful inside. And if someone does compliment me, I have a hard time accepting it. And I go, Lord, why is that? Well, I mean, I guess we could do an analysis, an inventory, my life biography, and there's shaping experiences, I guess, in life that we all have. Maybe there's inherited tendencies from our parents of personality, call them quirks, or ways that sometimes people think. I don't know. There's probably many things. But, you know, I just know that even this many years later, I just say, you know what, Lord, I have to always affirm, come back to the fact that I love who you are, Rod, and as God made you. And, you know, I have to accept that. Sometimes my wife is helpful there to me as well. And I have to be able to say, even with things that I don't like in my life and I can't control even sometimes. Are you with me? And then when I do that, it helps so much to recenter me and get some peace back. So I want to share with you what I believe is a biblical prescription for inner peace. But I wanted to say that right out the gate because it's all built on this understanding. So, dear friend, to find peace within yourself, it's important to, first and foremost, and I alluded to this a moment ago, and that is to accept Christ as your personal Savior and ruler. Accept Christ as your personal Savior and ruler. Why? Quickly, because this secures your eternal future. There's so much more to it than that, but I'm talking in terms of what makes us serene, secure, and peaceful. And one of the things that we have apprehension about, one of the things that disturbs our peace greatly is, what's after this? What happens after we die? What will happen when I am no more? What would be my eternal future? Will I be good with God? Will I not be good with God? Is heaven real? Will I be there? Will I not be there? Is hell real? Will I be there or not? You know, it's like, those are the kinds of questions that, honestly, people walk around, I think even subconsciously, sometimes troubled by, and we're reminded of those things. You know, a funeral happens, or there's someone that we knew, we heard about who died, or maybe it's a close friend, and we start doing our own analysis of our own mortality. And as you get older, you're more in touch with your mortality. That's just the truth. But we accept Christ as our personal Savior and ruler, we make peace with God, but we also come under Christ's headship and his direction for our lives. We know now that we have a future. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Don't let your heart be troubled, Jesus said. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to do that, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is one of the most peace-giving utterances the Master ever made. And notice that it was all about not letting our hearts be troubled, not losing our peace. That's why I say accepting Christ as your personal Savior and the ruler of your life, it secures your eternal future, and you have peace with that. And that is huge. So that's the first prescription. Second, with that, trust in God's control over everything. Now that's what we call God's sovereignty. And I would say that for sure, at least, this shields you from ongoing worries about your safety. That as you're going through this world, you really believe there's a sovereign God that has a guiding hand and a protecting hand and a covering hand. And that it's not all about, the weight of it's not all on you to try to, how shall I say, be your own protector as you go through life. And that every circumstance, you have to be in control of it to make everything work out, because that's the challenge so many have, is you try to control everything, and when you can't, then you lose your peace. Are you with me? Because do we have any people with control issues in the room? Somebody? I think all of us, sometimes if we can control it, then we think we got it, and now we feel peaceful. Ah, it's all under control now, only to find out it's like whack-a-mole. Boom, and then another one pops up over there. I thought I had gotten all the moles under control, and then they pop up. Worries about your safety and controlling everything, that steals your peace, but trust in God's control over everything brings peace. Also, along with that, understand, this is prescription 3, understand that God will fulfill all your needs. Now, this brings so much peace. Jesus talked about this a lot with his disciples. God will fulfill all your needs. We need to understand it's okay to feel concerned while still having peace and faith. It's what we're talking about is letting fear take over. That's not right. That's not okay. You can still have concern about your needs, and sometimes you can feel a greater level of concern. But you can still, in the midst of that, have peace and faith. I'm concerned, yes, but I still have peace fundamentally, and I believe that God is going to somehow work it out. It's just letting that fear take over. What we're fundamentally asserting here is that you can't live with fear and peace in your heart at the same time. Again, a little bit of concern's okay, but fear and peace in your heart at the same time, can't do it. Now, as each of us are one of the sheep in God's flock, I believe you and I really need to understand this reality. The psalmists talk a lot about God delivering us from our fears and bringing those fears to God. I think it's something that we have to really focus on. Lord, Lance talked about a lot about discernment, you know. Discernment has a lot to do with seeing that maybe this is right or this is wrong or this is the way or this isn't. Discernment has the ability, what's dark, what's light, what's good, what's bad. You know, it's the ability to make those kinds of determinations. And one of the things we have to have discernment is about, is what I'm dealing with right now concern or is it fear? Lord, show me if what I'm dealing with in my emotions and feelings and mind, is this fear or is it just concern? If it's concern, it's okay. But if it's fear, I really need to address that. That's the peace stealer. But we're all sheep in God's flock, and so we need to understand that. And so one thing that's been helpful for Stacy and I lately, recently I should say, we've been daily praying Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd. And especially significant is verse 2, where we declare that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And why this is significant is because this has a lot to do with a sheep feeling inner peace, enough inner peace to even just simply eat or drink. Yeah, because you see, experienced shepherds say that in order to get sheep to lie down in peace, 4 things have to be present. First, they have to be free of all fear. Second, they have to be free from friction with others of their own kind. Third, they have to be free from the torment of flies or parasites. And then fourthly, they need to be free from the feeling to need to find food and to be free from hunger. Now, it's interesting, God chose the animal as known as the sheep, to be his comparison to you and I as his people. So I think there's some parallels here. Now, it's important to know, too, and when I said how do you determine whether it's concern or fear, let me give you something very helpful, and it's helped me. The Bible perceptively says that fear has torment. When you feel tormented, and you say, torment, yeah, that's a good word. It's almost like you're being poked with white-hot pokers in your mind, white-hot pokers in your soul. It's like torment and torture kind of are very, very close. Torment, torture. They're very similar ideas. Fear has a torture element in it. Fear has a torment element in it. And that's the difference between concern has, you raise your eyebrows. I am concerned. You know, you may sit up a little straighter. You're sober about it. But torment's a whole nother thing. It's this, you know, it's wrestling with it. So let's apply the similarity to the sheep, please. And let me ask you, have you ever been tormented by thoughts? Okay, because not one person raised their hand and no one said anything. I mean, and that very thought that I'm the only one being tormented me. Because I thought, Lord, what's going on here? You ever been tormented by thoughts? Okay. Because I bet you'd agree with me, it's hard to lie down when thoughts are buzzing around your head. Also, people in general, family, coworkers can cause friction and provoke us to do things that we would probably never do. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm saying that sheep poke at other sheep. And they even bite them sometimes. Now those two, look at those two, they're not going to bite each other. Well, we don't know. That it looks good now, but we don't know. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because they're actually sort of almost a purplish hue, almost a rose-colored hue. Okay, additionally, we sheep need to be free from torment by flies or parasites. Now, obviously, we're using imagery here, but in reality, if flies or parasites are not dealt with, it can lead to bad health problems for the sheep. And there's a couple of ways I saw this. Similarly, you and I need to ward off people who want to hang on to us in an unhealthy way. They can become a parasite and affect our health. That's kind of a scary thought. But sometimes there are people in those situations. But we also need to ward off, I call it, parasitic demonic influences. One of the ways the devil works, he tempts, okay? There's temptation that comes. And by the way, it's interesting. Jesus called the devil Beelzebub, which means Lord of the Flies. And so when you think about flies tormenting sheep and they crawl up in their nose and in their ears, it's kind of crazy. Shepherds sometimes have to put special ointments that are aromatic on the nose to get the flies and stuff to come out because of how they torment the sheep. But Jesus said that the devil is the Lord of the Flies, and so demonic influences can be like swirling flies around us, trying to get into our ears so we can't hear right, into our eyes so we can't see. Cut off our spiritual breath, it would almost seem like at times. And we have to understand that that can lead to bad spiritual health problems as well as other problems. And we have to be free from those demonic influences. Can't let those rule and reign in our situation. And we sheep also need to be free from the feeling of a shortage of food. That's what that story said. Yes, because money issues can get tight and worry can overtake us there. And that steals our peace. So the demonic forces are trying to steal our peace. Got people trying to steal our peace. Money issues, we can let that try to steal our peace and torment us. But little flock, please notice what our Master Jesus said. He urged us to notice the birds in the trees. They aren't worried. And in the same way, he said, your Heavenly Father's going to take care of you. Now, that's such a simple analogy. And you go, Jesus, come on. Be more complex. I mean, look at a bird in the tree and go, okay, that's it. I'm supposed to be like that. Yes, it's that simple. I mean, look, it's so simple, but it's so brilliant. It's so hard for us to sometimes grasp it. Folks, the point is that as God's sheep, you and I getting worked up and worried about any of these matters will not add an hour to our day or a year to our lifespan. God doesn't give us fear because there is no fear in him to give regarding these types of things. He says, my sheep know my voice. And so, look, oh, they're saying, we're all ears. So keep listening for your good shepherd's voice every day, and this will bring peace to you. Because it's only by spending time with our shepherd Jesus that we can free our souls from torment. And he'll help us discern how to deal with others. So, yeah, let him bring peace to your soul and lead you to a place of peace and contentment. But, church, the biblical prescription for a peaceful heart and mind also requires that you do something. Keep your conscience clear. Keep it clear. Ah, yeah, because listening to it can help you steer clear of choices that might leave you feeling guilty. And here's something that is so important to always remember. Feelings of guilt displace feelings of peace every time. If you're running around feeling really guilty about something, any peace you had is going to be evaporated. And so it's important to keep that in mind. Say, oh Lord, let my conscience be clear about my behaviors, my thinking, my attitude, my actions. We ought to follow the example of the Apostle Paul. He's on record as saying, I try with all my strength to always maintain a clear conscience before God and man. See how I'm trying to keep the brain, conscience clean? I wondered if we did that like we brush our teeth. What if we brushed our conscience every day? Cleaned it. Said, I got to keep this clean. Because it's going to steal my peace if it isn't, if I'm feeling guilty. I can tell you right now, just in the practical ways, when I've gotten into arguments with Stacy about something, or her, me, and, you know, I've gotten angry or said something unkind, you know, I feel guilty about it. And as I'm figuring it out, praying it through, walking it off, whatever I've got to do, I go, Lord, I got to go back. We got to make it right. There got to be forgiveness. Asking forgiveness and, you know, making amends. I tell you what, as long as I don't do that, or I would say her too coming my way, but as long as we don't do that, our consciences don't feel clear, and guess what? There's no peace. I don't feel at peace until I finally go, I've got to scrub that conscience clean and make things right, and then I can go on. Please know your conscience is a good Holy Spirit inspired barometer of what's going on, and follow it, please. Keep it clean as possible, and you will have more peace. Don't defile the conscience. More to be said on that. But also, here's another big prescription, and it's embrace who you are as you were created. Now, folks, I already spoke about this, I know, but because it's so important, I just want to drill down a little bit more on this. And what I want to say now about this is focus on what you can actually change. Because there are some things that we say, hey, let's be honest, there are some things that need to be changed, yes. And the Lord knows that, and the Lord is going to work with that, with us on those things. But of course, this is the point. What can actually be changed in my life? Because remember, fundamentally, you're made by God. He didn't make a mistake. It was interesting on Wednesday morning. Oh, thank you. Wednesday morning, Stacy and I sang to our 2-year-old granddaughter over FaceTime. We had the phone, we were singing, and we sang the late Mr. Rogers greeting song, It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Won't you be my neighbor? And she loved it. And, you know, I was reminded as I was preparing this message how Mr. Rogers, who, by the way, was a Christian, he taught children to accept themselves in many ways. And if you ever watch the show, you know his show centered on helping children feel good about who they are and that they are worthy and that they are loved. And his message was that people can like you for who you are, with all your strengths and weaknesses. And so he taught that it's important to be authentic and to show up as you are. And he sang the song, "You Are Special." And he said, "You are the only person who is exactly like you. So in a way, you've already won in this world." Wow. Now, church, I want to suggest to you, those are not pop psychology ideas. Those are actually fundamentally, basically Christian biblical ideas. And children believing these truths can bring them into places of peace in their minds and in their hearts. One notable and even moving case in point from Mr. Rogers' work many years back was reported in Christianity Today magazine, and here's what it said. It said, one day Mr. Rogers was making a trip to California, and he decided to pay a visit to a teenager with cerebral palsy. At first, the boy was made very nervous by the thought that Mr. Rogers was visiting him. The youth was so nervous, in fact, that when Mr. Rogers did visit, the boy got mad at himself and began hating himself and hitting himself, and his mother had to take him into another room. Well, Mr. Rogers patiently waited, and when the boy came back, Mr. Rogers said, "I would like you to do something for me. Would you do something for me?" On his computer, the boy answered, "Yes." "I would like you to pray for me. Will you pray for me?" The author says that the boy was, quote, thunderstruck because nobody had ever asked him for something like that, ever. The boy had always been prayed for. The boy had always been the object of prayer, and now he was being asked to pray for Mr. Rogers, and although at first he didn't know if he could do it, he said he would. He said he'd try. And ever since then, he keeps Mr. Rogers in his prayers and doesn't talk about wanting to die anymore because he figures Mr. Rogers is so close to God, and if Mr. Rogers likes him, that must mean God likes him too. Oh, that's a precious story. I think you're seeing it with me, everyone. You see, when you and I can embrace who we are as we were created, with even our flaws, our weaknesses, our brokennesses, including the things we cannot change, the wheelchairs we're in, so to speak, that we cannot get out of. But we nonetheless rely on God's grace and power to change the things that we can and should. It serves to foster God's peace in our minds and hearts, like it brought that boy into a place. He didn't want to die anymore. He wanted to live because there was something he could change, and he focused on that. Here's how you and I can pray. My God and Heavenly Father, grant to me the serenity of mind to accept that which cannot be changed, courage to change that which can be changed, and wisdom to know the one from the other through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. And here's the great news. When you change on the inside, the true you shines through. You've found inner peace. And guess what? It shows. Yeah. The name of that beautiful rose is called Glowing Peace. There you are. Would you like to look like that when people look at you? Wow, that's glowing peace. He or she is, they glow with peace. Loved one, that's exactly what your inner peace in Christ is supposed to do. It's supposed to radiate outward from you in a continuous glow, which brings us to the final part of the biblical prescription to maintain a peaceful heart and mind, and it is the requirement that you focus on Christ instead of just yourself. Yeah. You see, dear one, doing this helps you avoid being someone who only thinks about their own needs, which is peace sabotaging. In what way? Well, I'm sure you'd probably agree with me. People who are all about themselves struggle to love others, and they struggle to build good relationships. Yeah. But the good news is that when Christ is your main focus, there's Jesus. Do you see him? When Christ is your main focus, you become more aware of how other people feel. And you can live in a more peaceful way with them. So, please, bottom line, desire what Christ desires. Aim to make him happy, and he'll provide you with a deep sense of inner peace that you can't even fully understand. As the Apostle Paul said, if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. And his peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Isn't that a great promise? Are you keeping your focus on Christ? Keeps everything else in focus and produces his peace. As one of our opening texts affirmed, you will keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Amen. All right. Well, dear one, you've seen this morning that inner peace is essential for experiencing the wholeness Jesus provides to you as his follower. And Christmas is all about our great Prince of Peace. So I'm going to call you now to a commitment to be freshly cultivating in your life what truly matters for a peaceful heart. And in doing that, I do want to challenge you to identify any areas in your heart that need addressing as you continue to seek inner peace in Christ. And so I ask, with the necessary power of Christ's Spirit, will you make your commitment right now in prayer as together we meditate on the soothing words of this prayer hymn that we want to close with? you made your commitment to the Lord. I want to invite you to do something this week. Every morning, before you start your day, take a moment to breathe in deeply and say this prayer. Lord, please help me to welcome the new day in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome the day in peace. For anyone here who is seeking a personal relationship with God in Christ, whether for the first time or whether you're recommitting your life to Him, I want to offer you this little booklet this morning as a help. It's going to be available on the table in the lobby when you leave. Why Christmas, appropriately titled, explains how to come into or reconnect in a personal relationship with God through faith in Christ. Don't miss the moment. Also, please pick up a copy of the Gospel of John out there to go with it and start reading that. Of course, we always encourage your church attendance. We're going to have a baptism after the first of the year. The Spirit and the Bride say come. So it's God's invitation to so many, someone online as well. Now, again, next Sunday is our special Christmas service. I hope you'll invite a friend or a family member to join us. There's prayer up front right after the service. But again, we want to make you aware of our big Christmas buffet in the back, our time together, our fellowship time, our luncheon. I hope you'll be able to join us for that. I would like to say a prayer as we close, and then a blessing, but let's pray over that event that we're going to be heading into right now. Lord, we thank you for your peace, peace like a river flow. And now, Lord Jesus, we pray as we get ready to go in and have our celebration, our holy day celebration, we ask, Lord, that you would just bless our time. It's a true koinonia, a fellowship in the Spirit, and developing a relationship and friendship and celebrating the season, but also, Lord Jesus, we ask your blessing on the food that we're going to enjoy. Thank you for your provision that's made that possible. We just pray that we'll be able to encourage, love, and bless one another and make a wonderful memory together as church family in the house of God today. And we ask all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. I leave you with this blessing. Now go forth into the world and respond to people in the darkness who are asking, where are you? Say, here I am. Let me help you along the way. Respond to people who are suffering in sadness and in grief, saying, here I am. Let me help share your burden. And respond to people lost in the whole pandemonium of it all, saying, here he is, the child of hope, the prince of peace, the savior of the world. Amen. God bless you. Hey, let's head on back and let's have a wonderful time, everybody. God bless you. Online family, thanks for being with us. God bless you too. We'll see you next time we're together. Thank you. Come for prayer if you have a prayer need this morning.